Today on Real Radio.
Now he says that we ought to be careful to flee away from our youthful lust, and don't think for a moment that it's just physical youthful lust. Not at all. In fact, it's childish lust, which all of us have a problem with. Don't look at me like that. I know you do. Here's what it is: arrogance, self-centeredness, power plays, partiality. That's what that word means, youthful lust.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul has used some military and other kinds of comparisons to explain what is expected in the life of the believer. In other words, we're in a war while in this world. We're just not of this world. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Separated Soldier.
What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends? Are they people that are encouraging you to go on with Jesus Christ? Or when you're around them, do you kind of be stagnant, or do they pull you back? If you're a vessel of gold, and who in this room this morning wouldn't say, gosh, I mean, I believe I'm a vessel of gold. I love the Lord. I want to be, okay, great, praise God. What are you doing with your friendships? Where are you trafficking? Where are you fellowshipping? Evil fellowship corrupts good habits, godly morals. Well, I think we ought to be loving. I do too, man. But when you're around these people, some people you can't avoid. You've got to work with them. Is your motive to bring them to Jesus Christ? Are you painting a godly picture, or do they pull you down? Let me put it this way. Are you influencing them towards godliness, or are they influencing you towards complacency? I told you a while back, we got a puppy. We have a Yorkshire Terrier, and so we thought we'd get another one. And we brought this puppy into the house. And when they're puppies, you can tolerate a lot of shenanigans from these guys. But when they kind of grow up a little bit and they still act like a puppy, you know, I just want to take them out and put them in the trash can or something. Get rid of this thing. And this little dog, you got to remember, first of all, Scruffy, is our long-time dog, has got to be a born-again dog. The dog's incredible. He is so stable. He is so full of love. And he's just awesome. Well, we bring this puppy in. And, like, Scruffy's going, okay, cool, I guess, you know, what's the deal? And the puppy piddles on the carpet. And Scruffy's like, wait a minute, wait, I couldn't get away with that stuff. What's the deal? And then the little puppy's chewing on wood. Well, I mean, what's the deal here? And this little puppy's doing all of these wicked little things in our home. And we noticed that we just got rid of the dog. Out of here, you're out. And our long-term born-again dog, you know, he's been corrupted by that guy. Now that dog's gone, that born-again dog of ours, that faithful pup, Scruff, that we've had for a long time, he's starting to act a little weird now. And now we see that evil fellowship corrupts good, godly conduct. Where are you? Who are you fellowshipping with? It makes all the difference in the world. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning. You need to break it off. You need to get away from that kind of fellowship that pulls you down. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Who are you walking with in your Christian experience? I tell you what, traffic with Christians that challenge your walk. Do that. Watch what happens. Commit yourself to people. Make friends in the fellowship that are godly people. Somebody came to me, a brother in this fellowship. He said, "I really want to start praying early in the morning." And he has a ministry here. And I said, "Well, that's great." And he said, "Well, you know, can I start meeting with you?" And I said, "No." I said, "I've got a different plan going, and I'm doing this thing, but I want you to do it. And he goes, "Well, you know, I don't know if I'll be faithful to it." And I said, "I tell you what, you want to be faithful to it? You might want to remember this, because this has really helped me in my life. Commit yourself to somebody who's new in the Lord. Not somebody who is your buddy bud. Commit yourself to somebody who's new in the Lord, and you'll be careful to present to them Jesus and all the things that you're doing. You want to paint, that's a lot of accountability. You need to do that. Or do the other and fellowship with somebody who you esteem to be very godly and really right on. But don't get somebody who's a buddy bud, somebody that you know and I know in my life that you can just let down your guard and be a goofball. That is not going to lead you towards godliness." Now he says there in verse 21, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter what?" Some of your Bibles have the word "these." That's an unfortunate translation. It should say "from the latter." He's referring to false teachers. He's referring to complacent wood and clay, vessels of dishonor. Stay away from them, he says. That word "cleanse" is to purge or to wash out. It means to rinse until it's fresh again. Stay away. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, and look what Paul says there. I want you to go to it because it's very heavy, and I want you to make sure that I'm not the one who's saying this, that it's Paul. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, he says, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world." Look what he says. "Or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters of the world, since then you would have to go out of the world." I mean, you'd have to quit your job, become a monk, and sit in some hilltop somewhere and not talk to anybody. Paul says there's going to be sexually immoral people that you come in contact with. There's going to be extortioners that you're going to know. But look what he says. He says in verse 11, "But now I have written to you not to keep company," the word is fellowship, "not to fellowship with anyone named a Christian brother who is a fornicator." Are you a fornicator this morning? Then we're not supposed to have fellowship with you. You're judging me. Don't you hear that? You're judging me. You ought not to judge. You know what? First of all, you're wrong. We are not to judge in condemnation. We are to judge in fruit inspection. And haven't you noticed that when people say, "Oh, man, you're judging me," have you always noticed that it's the person that's guilty? Always. And here's the whole picture. What do you think Paul's doing right here? He's scrutinizing is the word. Paul the Apostle says, who's the author of, remember, 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. Paul says, if somebody says they're a Christian and they're practicing fornication, don't even fellowship with them. Why? Because he's mean? No, because he loves that person that's fornicating. He wants them to stop it. God wants you to stop it. Are you an extortioner? We're not to have fellowship with you. Because we hate you? Because we're holy molies? No. We love you. We want you to get out of that mess. It'd destroy your life. Paul says, don't even, look at verse 11, don't even eat with such a person. Why? so that they recognize the fellowship has been broken and they come back into a healthy walk with Jesus Christ. He says to wash it out, rinse it away. Now in verse 22, Paul uses a very intense, actually two very intense Greek words. In fact, they're very strong to the point that it could have been taken in an exaggerated fashion, but remember, Paul's speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Who do you fellowship with? Those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. Are they following Jesus? Is Jesus their life? Yes, people, we are all going to blow it. We all do make mistakes. We all do come short. But where's our heart? This word flee in the Greek is the Greek word phuego, and it's very strong. It means to escape or to vanish away from with great intensity. Genesis 39, 12 paints the picture perfectly. In fact, the Hebrew meaning of it in Genesis 39, 12 means to put to flight. And you know this story about Joseph and Potiphar's wife? It says in Genesis 39, 12, and she caught him. You know, she had been flirting with him and winking at him, and Joseph would come in and do the work, and she'd go, hi, Joseph. You know, how you doing, honey? And he would do his business, and he'd get out of there, and I don't think she talked like that. I think she talked maybe like, you know, how you doing, Joe, or whatever, you know? Hey, you think I'm making it up? The Bible says that she's casting long eyes at him. What is that? You know, I don't know. How do you cast a long eye? I don't know. But the Bible says, oh, she was casting long eyes at him. Big, you know, his eyelashes just waving in the breeze. Hi, Joseph. And he came in, and all the guys were out of the house. Now, what would you have done? Lie with me. This is wrong. I know. No, he didn't even do that. He didn't even think. She said, oh, Joseph, lie with me. You know what he did? In Genesis 39, 12, she says, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he put to flight. He fled. He vanished. And listen, I love this. And he got him out. That's what it says. He vanished. He fled, and he got him out. I like that. Hi, Joseph. And as he ran and her pride was dashed, she said, rape, rape. And he went to prison for years, innocent man. But he put to flight. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication and every sin. Flee it. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, how you doing? Fine, great. Want to go out? Sure, fine. There goes the arm. Pretty moonlit night, isn't it? Hey, they ought to see feet running, flee, put to flight, vanish from. Oh, Jack, you're so old-fashioned. Hey, look, God's older than I am, and he says flee. He says flee, get out of there, put to flight. We quoted it earlier, but we'll do it again. Luke 3:7, John the Baptist is baptizing, and he says to those religious people, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It means put to flight, sprint, vanish away from the wrath to come, or the sin that's present. Now, he says that we ought to be careful to flee away from our youthful lust, and don't think for a moment that it's just physical youthful lust. Not at all. In fact, it's childish lust, which all of us have a problem with. Don't look at me like that. I know you do. Here's what it is: arrogance, self-centeredness, power plays, partiality. That's what that word means, youthful lust. You ever seen a kid? You buy a ball for a little kid and you give it to him, and the little neighbor boy comes over, whatever, and it's mine, mine, mine. It ain't yours, you know, and then it's mine. And then you give them cookie and they want 10 cookies. Or what do our kids say? You give one kid something and you haven't even gotten the other one out of the bag to give it to the one, and they go, well, where's mine? Partiality, self-centeredness. Kids can be brutal. I'll take him and her and him. And what do they choose? They always pick who's the cutest, who's got the shiniest shoes, who's the with the curly hair, whatever, and they leave one person or a few people out. Kids can be brutal. We need to flee youthful lust, youthful entertainments in our mind. Get away from them. Are you self-centered this morning? Am I self-centered? God says, get away from it. Flee it. When I was a child, Paul says, I spoke as a child. But when I matured, I grew up as a Christian, I put away childish things. We need to put them away. We just need to put those things away. Now he says to flee. And look what he says again. Another very strong Greek word. This word, pursue. You can run from a lot of things, people, and you ought to be running from them. I saw a sign at a store the other day, a couple weeks ago, and it says, when all else fails, lower your standards. When all else fails, lower your standards. That's wisdom of the world, isn't it? We are to flee from unrighteousness. But where are you going to go? You can't just run out of the wilderness and stand somewhere going to nothingness. You've got to flee, and the word means to flee ungodliness and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. This word pursue means to arrive towards, to chase after, or to hunt down. It's a very dramatic word. Be fleeing one thing and be hunting down the other. This word appears with great intensity in Galatians 1:13. Paul says, for you have heard of my former conduct when I was a non-believer, how I persecuted the church of God. That's that word. Hunted them down. Acts 26:11. And I punished them in every synagogue, compelling them to blaspheme against God, being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted the church with great intensity. That means he came to hunt them down. Now, in the positive, in Philippians 3:12, one of the greatest verses in all of the Bible, and I stand before the Lord and I say, oh God, make this verse the verse of my life. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected as a Christian, but I press on, that I may lay hold for that which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as arriving, but one thing I do. Listen, some of you need this. Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. That word, to press forward, it paints this picture. And if I look like a fool right now, that's okay. You may never forget this. We are to be fleeing and running away and pushing back and forgetting those things of the past. And while we're doing that, man, we need to be reaching. We need to look like a crazy man. Forgetting those things. And for some of us, it's very hard. We've got old relationships pressing in. Maybe it's an old marriage. Or maybe it's an old church. Or maybe it's an old friend. And it hurts every time you think, put it behind. Put it behind. And then be reaching. And I mean this. Have you ever been in a tug of war? And you're reaching for that rope? You ever seen sprinters? And it's neck and neck, nose to nose, and the guy just lunges to break the line, and he falls and crashes quite often and gets all skinned up. That's what he's saying. Man, I'm pressing, and I'm reaching forward, and I'm pulling closer to Christ, closer to Jesus. Draw me nearer, O Lord Jesus, nearer to thee, O Lord, and pull. Oh man, Christian, this morning, is your heart like that? Is it pulling? Our hearts need to be like that. We need to be pressing on and going forward in the Lord. Why? We can slip back and get all messed up and take in false doctrine and all. He says to flee, to pursue. Look at verse 23. But avoid. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. This word avoid means to consider it as depreciating or of no value to the point of rejection, to depreciate or to reject. And this word strife is battles or fighting, and it's the Greek word machos. Almost sounds like macho, doesn't it? Fighting. What a crack up. There are people who come into our lives and they want to fight Bible like this. Hey, what do you think this verse means? And you can see that they want to contend in a negative way. They want to fight. And we're to avoid. It means we're to look at it, consider it as a negative. This conversation is going to be a vacuum. They don't want to grow in Christ. They want to argue. And you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to ignore. Literally, just say, have a nice day. Turn and walk away. It means to turn and walk away. I have a hard time doing that. I'll confess that before you. Somebody jumps in my soup, I want to jump in theirs. I do. It's terrible.
Oh, hey, what do you think of this?
Oh, yeah, what do you think of this? I haven't come to that place yet where somebody comes up and wants to contend, and I just go, hey, you know what? I'll see you later, and walk away. I need to be like that. I figure, you know, they're looking for an argument, so I don't want them to get depressed or disappointed. You know, Paul said, I'm all things to all men, you know, so I figure, well, he wants to argue, so I'll go and argue with him, you know, and that's not good. I need to get out of that. We need to be careful. We need to turn and listen. You know what? When some heckler doesn't have an audience, he'll go somewhere else. He'll find an ear somewhere. And unfortunately, there's always an ear to find where they can pump their venom. They can be that tear that takes the water, the word in, and becomes poison to the hearers.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the last few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a presentation called The Separated Soldier, and we'll continue with more in our series through 2 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.